All right, good morning, and glad that I could join you. The few we have in the sanctuary this morning, and those of you out there watching, live streaming, and other ways as well, always account it a privilege to come before you and share God's Word. And God's Word today, as Bill mentioned during the worship music, and we'll be looking at the second book of Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And the title of the message this morning will be The Building Blocks of Faith. And part of this scripture, there's steps in measurement of building your faith. And I think all of us have different steps in our lives for building for success, from a business side to a personal side. Even in our ministerial work, we somehow build steps in to be successful in knowing God and structuring our faith so that we can succeed in what God has called us to do. A few years ago, I was a Rotarian here in Oswego, and we always had the four-way test of things we think, we say, or do. My friend Randy Ziegler's very involved now, and he's familiar with these different principles here for the four-way test. The Rotary Club uses these to kind of set measurements on making decisions for the club and activity, such as, number one, is it the truth? Number two, is it fair to all concern? Number three, will it build goodwill and better friendships? And number four, I think everybody in their measuring their steps always looks at the word beneficial. Will it be beneficial to all concerned? And I think in our walk with God, we're always looking at, will it benefit God's glory? Will it benefit us in our walk? And will it be beneficial to all concerned? And we know that the Word of God benefits everybody in every way. Looking at our scriptures this morning, the Apostle Peter was writing to first century Christians to encourage and strengthen them in their faith in Christ. Remember, historically, we are talking about the presence of the Roman Empire. They are threatened by this new wave of faith, religion called Christianity. And many Christians are getting persecuted. Some are hiding in the corners to practice their faith. And Peter had to encourage those that he was shepherding and those that were under him as leaders. And it was such a political threat that people were scared to death, but yet they moved in faith, and the 12 apostles were instructing their churches, and including Paul as well, to move in faith and to walk with the Lord, and God will take us through it no matter what kind of pressures are going on. And it's true today as it was in the first century. So the meat of this scripture today will be verses 5 through 7, outlining the virtues and standards that build our faith. And I've heard these virtues described as rungs of a ladder. They just kind of keep building till you get to the top. And as we climb closer to the character of Christ, that's where these virtues come in and help us reach the top rung of the ladder. So the building of faith in Christ, it is a step-by-step process. One step builds another toward excellence in Jesus. So let's take a moment and pray and allow the Holy Spirit to help us climb this ladder of faith this morning as we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with your word, and we just ask that it penetrates our hearts, it builds our minds, it builds our hearts, it just strengthens us today. And let's just allow the Holy Spirit to work within us and anybody else out there who is not familiar with this scripture and has not heard it, may it build faith in you today as well. In your name, Jesus, amen. So let's look at the first two verses, verse 1, verse 2. It starts with Simon Peter. He writes, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So in Peter's introduction, it's an encouraging reminder of how Jesus made relationship right with God through his death and resurrection, so we can be in right standing with him. The one word I really like in these verses is the word precious. How valuable is this faith to you today? I hope you look at it as being precious. That is such an action word, so to speak, and really thought-provoking word. It's valuable. Our faith in Jesus is precious. We need to hold it very valuable to us, and we need to share it with others because it's so precious. We want others to share you and the value of this faith that we have in Jesus Christ. So we go on to verses 3 and 4. I call these the product of our faith. Verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious, there's the word precious again, valuable promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Verse 3 reminds us it's not of our own might, but God's strength and power supply, his knowledge that gives us the ability to move ahead, trust in him, share him with others, because we have those precious promises, those valuable promises given to us. And it's his divine nature that we look at. That helps us to look away from things that aren't godly. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires, anything that doesn't want to direct us to God or take us off the path of righteousness is an evil desire. I think that's the simplest way to look at it. Anything that's going to help us or not help us to be in right relationship with God is a desire with darkness behind it. Jesus draws us up to accept God's power and strength, and he mentions that in verse 3. And I want to go to another scripture for a moment. John chapter 12, verse 32. And when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. This particular scripture was written after the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem just before the Passover. And he's coming into Jerusalem, and they're putting palm branches down, and the Messiah has come, and they're just so excited that the one God they believe at that time has come to maybe even overthrow this Roman government has come. And so they're worshiping him as a king. I think what's interesting, before we get to verse 32, Jesus says in verse 27 in John 12, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour, to glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, and people are hearing this. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. And then in verse 30, before we get to verse 32, Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And then Jesus reveals that he is going to die on the cross. And when he's up there on the cross, he's going to be lifted up from the earth, and that's where he's drawing people to himself. And it's the cross of Christ that draws people. It's nothing else. We have to allow ourselves to see Jesus dying on the cross in order to believe that he has died for our sins and he came as promised to give us eternal life. So that's kind of a by the way to this chapter, or verses 3 and 4 here, of the start of what I call the building blocks of faith. So before we get to the building blocks of faith, we have to realize that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that we look to him for life everlasting. Now we go to what I call the meat of this particular section of scriptures that we're looking at this morning. The meat of the chapter, as I call it, verses 5 through 7. We'll start with those and we'll read those, and then we'll take a look at the different virtues here that Peter is writing about. Starting with verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. Verse 7, and to godliness, mutual affection, which also in some versions is written as brotherly love. And to mutual affection, love, period. So verse 5, add faith to goodness and knowledge. So to put this on a practical level, when I was looking at verse 5, I thought about when you're learning to drive. First, you have to get your permit, and you have to spend some time gaining knowledge about how to properly drive a car. So, you know, you're going through a training period with somebody's riding with you to the point where you've got enough knowledge that you can take the road test. So passing the road test is the second step of having more knowledge. But once you get that knowledge and you're able to drive by yourself, now you have to display self-control. You're on your own. You have to display some sort of self-control and not get yourself into accidents and not get yourself in a mess with your vehicle and be trusted. That's what it comes down to. Be trusted because you have self-control to drive that car. And then because you've got all these elements together, you've got some knowledge, you've got some self-control, you can persevere and move on and not be a threat on the highway for the most part. So same with our faith. Our faith, we have to have some knowledge. And knowledge simply is knowing the Word of God. And as we mentioned many times from this pulpit, that's daily Bible study and prayer. Then we take that knowledge we have gained from the Bible. We're able to develop some sort of self-control. We use the what we've learned from the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit speaks to us to maybe not go off the wrong path, to keep a godly path, and be able to then persevere in Christ and display godliness to others. So in verse 6, well, actually, I just went through verse 6. So verse 7, we look at godliness, and once you have godliness, the glory of God in you, there's something special about your heart. Your heart becomes a little bit more open to others. It's a little bit more understanding, and then you're able to have mutual affection for others, especially those of you who are Christians and with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You have that brotherly love, that mutual affection, because that godliness that's in you, that the Holy Spirit has worked through you, is allowing you to love unconditionally in a way that maybe you wouldn't if you weren't in right step with God. Mutual affection leads to love. So overall, once you have that brotherly love, that mutual affection, you begin to have love like God has for people. And that's a very unconditional type love, just being able to be open, understanding, and loving people. That kind of godliness that we display in loving others is very pleasing to Him. God blesses us when we love others. And sometimes it's a struggle. We all have certain personalities that we can't click with. But if God has called us to help that person, whether it be helping them out with a project or in just a word, a kind word, brotherly love, we've really displayed godliness in a way that maybe somebody outside of Christianity wouldn't understand or wouldn't even try to do. But that's God building us up in these steps of faith. And then verse 8, following these qualities step by step prevents us from being ineffective and lacking knowledge for the kingdom of God. So verse 8 reads, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So These are just measurements to help us walk along with God, be able to continue to express brotherly love, be able to have self-control and knowledge. I work better with an outline of things. I'm one of those people that I really gravitate toward verses 5 through 7 because it really helps me go step by step in my faith. It gives me a starting point. Not everybody is good at having an outline, but I imagine when Peter was teaching during the early days of Christianity, people were so scattered about how to share their faith. You know, he was inspired, you know, to kind of set up steps for them. And as he set those steps up for them, they were able to share it with others. They were able to physically demonstrate it. So I think these steps help us climb that ladder toward godliness and help us achieve what God has commissioned us to do, is to share his word, to love others, and to glorify him as well. Verse 9 is interesting. But whoever does not have them, and he's referencing all those building blocks that we talked about in verses 5 through 7, they are nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So all of a sudden, Peter is reminding them, if you don't embrace these different building blocks, where has your faith gone? Have you lost interest in trying to be godly and loving to others? And they aren't looking at the big picture, nearsighted. Nearsighted means they can't see far away. They're only seeing what's currently going on. They can't see far away and the ultimate goal of glorifying God and having right relationship with him and encouraging others to have right relationship with him. All of a sudden, they're still stuck wherever they are. It's like the car can't get out of the snowbank, since we were talking about driving. So they're still there with the wheels just turning, and they didn't put the chains on the tires or put it in four-wheel drive. They're just stuck there. So God is Peter is reminding his congregation that all these qualities, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, you know, they have to move. They can't be stuck in the snow. You have to engage them in order to reach the top of the ladder and have that right faith, that right relationship with God. So verses 10 and 11, as we conclude this chapter, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I look at 10 and 11 as the verses of a safety check. They are a reminder to us that you need these verses, or these words of encouragement that Peter has shared. These nuggets of truth, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, in order to move ahead and to keep you from getting yourself in trouble and to help you stand firm in your faith. It allows us to walk out our faith and also share the love of God. So, in conclusion, simply, the knowledge of the kingdom of God, it's a step-by-step process. And I think Peter, in this particular scripture, and it's always has spoken to me in this manner, is just a step-by-step, one step on the ladder to the top after another. We seek God's kingdom first. As we seek God's kingdom first, we're climbing that ladder of faith each day to get to godliness. And these are just some nuggets of truth here to help us get that way. And our knowledge begins first. First, our knowledge begins that we have to know that Jesus has died on the cross for our sins. He came to earth to redeem us from what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, just simple disobedience. We go to Jesus and we look to him to forgive our sins. That's the first point, accepting him to lead us and forgive us from our sins. We start there. Let's start there at the ladder. And then we start climbing using these truths and these words that Peter has shared this morning. And people watch us from the outside. This is also an opportunity for us to share our faith as people see us use godly knowledge, use the self-control that God has given us to move ahead, and watch us persevere. Even in the toughest of times, people will stand back and watch you persevere and grow in Christ like you never have before. Even though it's the darkest hour of your life, they see that you still love God, and that speaks to them, and that's so evangelistic in just that alone. So I hope you've walked away today understanding that God wants us just to walk with him step by step each day. And look at verses 5 through 7 this week and kind of use those as your measurement in your prayer life and also in your Bible study time as well. These are the building blocks of faith and expressed in God's love. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to sing one more song, and then we'll come back and close in prayer.